I would like to speak about the words of Jesus to the disciple Peter after his resurrection, which were, "Do you love me?" The Lord had forgiven Peter after he sincerely repented, but a lesson followed. We know that Jesus was not being harsh with Peter, because when an angel appeared to Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, on resurrection morning, he told them to tell the disciples and Peter that Jesus would meet them in Galilee. He said, "And Peter." In other words, Peter, you're not forgotten. A special attention went to Peter. That's the love of Jesus. This morning, Jesus is asking us the same question, that is, do you love me? Do you love me more than family? Do you love me more than your possessions? Do you love me more than your distractions? Do you love me enough to be seriously committed to me? Do you love me enough to put me first in your life? Do you love me enough to be consecrated to me? Do you love me enough to want to be like me and to imitate me in your life? Do you love me enough to want to be filled and refilled with my Spirit? What about Jesus' conversation with Peter? If we could turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 21, a few short verses, verses 15 to 17. John chapter 21 and verses 15 to 17. John chapter 21, beginning at verse 15. "So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Shepherd my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.'" When the Lord addressed Peter, he referred to him as Simon, son of John. He didn't call him Peter, called him Simon. In this discussion, Jesus may have been trying to tell Peter not to esteem himself to be better than the other disciples. Mark chapter 14, verses 27 and 29, this is the night before the crucifixion. Jesus said to his disciples, "All you shall be offended because of me this night." But Peter said unto him, "Although all shall be offended, yet will not I." Matthew 26, 33. Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of you, yet will I never be offended." Luke 22, 33. "And he," Peter, "said unto him, 'Lord, I am ready to go with you both into prison and to death.'" In other words, Peter was saying, "They may be offended, but not me." Peter had a lesson to learn. In John 21, the Lord asked Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" In other words, do you love me more than the other disciples love me? Think back to what Peter said. "Though all men shall be offended because of you, yet will I never be offended." And now Jesus says to Peter, do you love me more than the other disciples? Peter didn't say, oh yes, I do. He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. No more pride. And this question, when Jesus said to Peter, do you love me? The word that Jesus used for love, I know we've heard this before, but I want to review it. The word that Jesus used for love was agapeo, and it is defined as an ardent, supreme, perfect love. Peter answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. In Peter's response, the word that Peter used for love was phileo, that is defined as to be fond of, to feel friendship with another. Jesus was talking about, when he said, do you love me? He was talking about an ardent, supreme, perfect love. Peter responded with the word for love, phileo, which is defined as to feel friendship for another, to be fond of. The pride was gone. He couldn't say the ardent, supreme love. There was no more boasting in Peter's answer. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Lambs refer to young converts who need special attention. Jesus would and did entrust young converts to Peter. In this conversation, Jesus was restoring Peter's spiritual condition. In the second question to Peter, Jesus again used the word agapeo, supreme, perfect, ardent love. And Peter's second response, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now sheep, not lambs, sheep refers to mature believers. Jesus didn't trust mature believers to Peter. This becomes obvious in the letters written to by Peter, as we know of, the letters to 1 and 2 Peter later on in the New Testament. Jesus asked Peter the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? This time Jesus used the word phileo. Jesus was driving home the lesson to Peter of not boasting, not thinking that he loved the Lord more than others, or feeling that he was better than the others. Peter had denied the Lord three times, and Jesus asked him three times, do you love me? And the Lord taught Peter a lesson, pushed the pride right out of him. That's what these conversations were about. And you could see Peter learned his lesson. He responded with phileo. Wasn't even the ardent supreme. He learned his lesson not to boast, as he did the night before the crucifixion. Why not boast? We cannot boast about any of our accomplishments in the secular world or even in the spiritual realm. In whatever the way the Lord chooses to use us, the ability is from him. We cannot become proud. And Peter was proud. That's why the Lord had to have this conversation with him. Anything we have is from God. It is not us. I'm not up here of my own ability. If it was my own ability, you wouldn't see me up here. It would have been somebody else. I'm not up here of my own ability. Everything is from God through his Spirit. And we read that. I'll read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 29 to 31. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Whatever we have is from God. And as I always say, not to keep repeating it, but it drives the point home. We don't have our next breath without God. Now we have a nurse over here of Verlin, and we know that there's that breathing center at the back of our neck. Little thing. And if Jesus shuts that off, we don't have our neck spread. Even our breath is from Jesus. We can boast of nothing. We have nothing. We have no accomplishments without him. So when someone tells us something, oh, that was really good, we say, thank God, because it's from him. We can't even breathe without God. We know that Peter did love Jesus, and at the time of his death, at the time of Peter's death, which was believed to be by crucifixion, he requested to be crucified head down. He did not feel worthy to be crucified in the same manner as Jesus was. So the question to us this morning is, do you love me, and how much do you love me? How deep, how sincere is our love for the Lord this morning? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 reads, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might." Luke chapter 10, verse 27. "And he answering," Jesus answering, "said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind." And why not, considering who he is? How much do we love the Lord? Do we love him with an agapeo love, that supreme, ardent love, or with the phileo love, which is just your love for mankind to be fond of? Do we love him more than family? Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 reads, "He who loves father or mother more than me," more than Jesus, "is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Do we love the Lord more than our possessions? I hope so, because it's God who gave us our possessions. God gave us, blessed us with all that we have and all that we own. But we cannot put any of our possessions, our homes, before him. Do we love Jesus enough to put him first in our lives? Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, one of the Ten Commandments, "You shall have no other gods before me." So, I don't have any gods before me. You say, you won't find any statues in my house. Anything that comes between us and God is an idol. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21, "Little children, guard yourselves from idols." Is Jesus our top priority this morning, or do we have an idol? Do you love the Lord enough to be genuinely committed to him? Jesus was committed to coming to earth and suffering and dying a brutal death for our salvation. That was his commitment to us. How committed are we to him? If he could be committed to us, considering our sinful nature, we certainly should be committed to him. How committed are we to the Lord? Do we give the Lord a priority? Do we give a priority to our commitment to the Lord? We speak a lot about commitment to the Lord. What strength is that commitment at? At what level is the strength, the bond, the love of our commitment to him? How much importance and effort do we give to keeping and strengthening that commitment? That commitment to the Lord has to keep growing. Do you love Jesus more than your distractions? Do we prioritize time with Jesus, or do we prioritize our distractions? What could our distractions be? Well, time for some type of enjoyment or pleasure, when we should be giving time to the Lord. Time for a hobby, when we should be spending time with the Lord. Not that you don't do the hobby, but I mean, God first. Sports could be a distraction if it takes away time that should be given to God. These activities are not bad, but they cannot become distractions from the Lord or time that should be given to Him. Criticisms and judgments can be a distraction. You say, how? How could that be? We could be watching someone's walk with the Lord, making judgments on their walk with the Lord, and not giving due diligence to our own walk with the Lord. So we are distracted from watching our own walk with the Lord. And Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 reads, work out your own salvation. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, Jesus spoke about the cares of this world. The cares of this world can become a distraction. Do we love the Lord more than our jobs? We sing to Him, have you any room for Jesus? Do we love Jesus more than our distractions? How much room do we have for Jesus? Or have we pushed Him in the corner with our earthly desires and distractions and priorities, things like that? Have you any room for Jesus? Do we love the Lord enough to not be a lukewarm Christian? Revelation chapter 3, Jesus said that the church of the Laodiceans was lukewarm. They had a superficial faith. Have we been serving Jesus the way we should be serving Him? Or do our priorities need to be adjusted? This church was caught up in the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches that Jesus spoke about. Have the cares of this world choked out the time and effort that we should be giving to the Lord? Do we love Jesus enough so that we place our priorities, our love, on our service to Him rather than being a lukewarm Christian with a superficial faith? Do we love Jesus enough so that we place our priorities, our love, on our service to Him? Do we love Jesus to the point that we always want to spend time with Him and wanting more of Him in our lives? When the couple is dating and serious about the relationship and really falling in love, they want to spend more and more time with each other. Do we love the Lord so much that we always want to be with Him and spend even more time with the Lord? Is our love for Him growing? Do we actively and with all our hearts seek more and more of Him into our lives? Do we love Jesus to the point that we are always hungering and thirsting for more of Him? If Jesus loves us so much that He misses spending time with us, what should our reaction be to Him? That we really want to spend more and more time with Him. Do we love Him enough that we want to become like Him and to be filled and refilled with Him? Do we love Jesus so much that we want to imitate Him and want to have His qualities and characteristics in our lives? Do we want Him to rub off on us? Do we love Jesus so much that we are addicted to Him? It should be that way. Addicted to Jesus. And if you really love Jesus, you will be addicted to Him. Do we love Him to the point of having the passionate desire of Jesus, Rose of Sharon, bloom within my heart? Do we love Him that much that we want to be filled with His Spirit and we want Him as the Rose of Sharon to bloom within my heart? As the song states, Jesus, Rose of Sharon, bloom within my heart. Do we love the Lord enough that we work at that goal to have him bloom within our heart. And when people see us, they don't see us. They see that beautiful blossom of Jesus in us. That's the way it should be. We don't want people to see us because they'll see faults and maybe things they don't like. They see Jesus in us. They'll never be disappointed. Do we love the Lord to the point of giving him the best of everything in our lives? Think of how Mary of Bethany gave her best. She anointed him with costly, pure spikenard. We want to give Jesus the best, the strongest commitment that we ever could make to him, making him the top priority in our lives and giving him the best of our abilities, giving him the best of our lives. We want to anoint him with the best of our lives. How could we anoint Jesus? He's not with us physically. We could anoint him with the best of our love, the best of our life. We could anoint him with the best of our praise and worship. This morning, can we hear Jesus asking, do you love me just because of who I am and all that I am in your life? Do we love Jesus just because of who he is, let alone what he could give us? He's always given us anyway. We want to love him and not his hands. We want to love Jesus because of who he is, an ardent, supreme love, which he deserves. He is the only one who willingly suffered and died for our eternal salvation from hell when he didn't have to. His love for us is beyond measure and comprehension. If we try to describe who Jesus is and his impact in our lives, all would be insufficient. He is truly beyond any word in any dictionary in any language. He remains undefined and is indescribable. This morning, Jesus is asking us, do you love me? And how much do you love me? So with that, we're going to get down to pray. Someone could lead us in a word of prayer to conclude the message. Then we'll have a last hymn.